Turning your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and verse 1. We continue our study, the message series, sermon series entitled More. We want more of Jesus. Amen? Absolutely. Colossians, chapter 3, and verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Colossians, chapter 3, and verse 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just praise You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the treasure that we have in Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You would open Your Word to us today. Open our hearts to receive it. Open our hearts to respond to it. Lord, You know the needs of this congregation. I pray for those who are lost, who do not know You as their personal Savior. I pray that today will be the day they respond to Your glorious gospel and receive You. I pray, Lord, for those who need to make other decisions, whether it's church membership, rededication, baptism, or whether they're hurting or dealing with issues or tragedies in this life. Lord, we know You are the answer. And I pray that You supply their need and every need present here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you like to take out the trash? That's kind of an off the wall question, Brother Doug, isn't it? Well, have you ever fought the trash wars? And by that, I'm talking about when you've nobody enjoys taking out the trash. As a matter of fact, we put it off as long as we can, right? And we'll stack it up. You ever do that? Oh, one more can will fit on that trash can. You pull it out, you press it all down, and oh, Lord bless that poor person who just can't put one more can in the trash can, because he's the fellow that's got to take it out. You know, eventually it'll run over. You got to deal with it, right? So what do we do? Tell our kids to take it out, right? Then it'll run over and spill out on the floor because they don't do it. Today we're going to take out the trash. Amen. Today let's take out the trash. I'm not talking about the trash in your home that overflows every once in a while. I'm talking about the spiritual trash that gets in the way and prevents us from having more of Jesus Christ. Right? And if we're going to take out the trash, we're going to have to start with attitudes and dealing with the old attitudes. Paul said, seek those things which are above. That word seek, it's more than just look for it, hunt for it. It deals with desire. It means to strive for, have an excitement, a passion, and pursue The Lord Jesus Christ. The idea is not to be able to quench that thirst and that hunger that you have for God. Pursue God in a way that you never get enough. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul said that in whom are hidden all the treasures and of wisdom and knowledge. Is that the way you view God? Do you realize Paul's challenge here is to look at God and look at your relationship with Jesus as though it's a treasure hunt? Is that the way you look at it? That you just can't get enough? I know there are more treasures to be had, and I've got to search the Scripture and find those treasures. I know there are more treasures and riches to be had, so I've got to spend more time alone with God in prayer. You're a treasure hunter. And when Paul says, seek those things which are above, that's what he's saying. Set your passion and pursue those things that are in Jesus Christ. Not only seek those things, but set your mind on things above. Turn your attention toward, incline your ear, listen to. Listen, when you're passionately pursuing someone, your attention is turned completely toward them. Did you think about them constantly? Oh, I remember the day when Beth and I were dating. Way back a long, long time ago. But I still remember it. Before we were married, oh, I courted that lady. I pursued her because I desired. I'd buy her stuff. I'd buy her flowers. I would buy her flowers. I would buy her candy. And the ultimate display of my affection for her, on our second date, I took her fishing. And you learn a lot about a lady by taking her fishing. Will she bait her own hook? Or does she go, ooh? But the point is, you know, when Beth and I were dating, man, I couldn't see her enough. I was working on the farm. I'd get up and we'd be out there on the farm at like, you know, soon as daybreak. And I'd work hard all day, driving a tractor, shoveling rice levees, and doing whatever the farm work required. And I'd work until dark. And then I'd run home real quick and take a shower and clean up. And then I'd go to Beth's house. And I'd visit with her. I'd court her. And we'd go to the movies. I'd take her to the movies, buy her popcorn. There was nothing too good. Except my billfold, and that wasn't real good, so, you know, I was on a budget. But the point being, man, I just wanted to win her approval. I couldn't get enough of her. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? But you know what happened? You knew this was coming. I got married. Something changed along the way. It changed in me. I became comfortable. Her dad, when we were married, said, I'll tell you this, boy. This is a quote. You ain't bringing her back. So I knew I had her. So along the way, I became more and more comfortable. More and more satisfied. The gifts became less and less. My attention even became less and less. I'm sorry, darling. I realized that as I prepared for this message. And you know, there have been times in our marriage where, you know, there's still that love. But there's not that pursuit that I once had. Where I'm pursuing her and wanting her to know the love that I have for her. And whose fault is that? That's my fault. Why? Because I'm perfectly content to come in, turn on the TV, kick off my shoes, and relax till bedtime. Then I got to thinking, you know, that's the way we treat God. Oh, when we're saved, we want all the world to know, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I want you to know it. And we wanted to come to church, and we wanted to come to Sunday school, and we wanted to read the Bible, and we wanted to pray. And it was just such a desire to have more and more and more of Jesus. But then we learned things like security of the believer. That when you're saved, Jesus seals you, and no man can pluck you from the Father's hand, so we know we're secure. And we get into the habit of going to church, and we become comfortable. Bible reading becomes less and less. Prayer time becomes less and less. And no longer, even to the point that no longer are we pursuing Jesus, but we just get comfortable. And you know that is defined in Revelation when the church at Laodicea, it's called lukewarm. The first challenge that I want to give you today is the challenge of taking that old attitude out with the trash. Getting rid of, oh, everything's fine, it's all good, and God loves me just the way I am. No! You know what God wants from you? God wants a passion from you, a desire, whereas you want to spend time with Him in prayer. You want to spend time in His Word. You want to be with God. That's what we're looking for here. That's what this whole sermon series is about. That's why He says, seek those things which are above. Set your mind on those things which are above. Don't be comfortable where you are. Demand, pursue more of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that I have all of Jesus I want. My problem is that oftentimes my want is not very high. Oh, listen, my friends, let's take out the trash. That trash of half-hearted singing, that trash of half-hearted praying, that trash of just showing up. Let's get rid of that. Because after all, let's face it, it's not satisfying, amen? It doesn't do anything for us spiritually. We're just filling in a blank. Set your mind on things above. Seek those things which are above. And you know what I've discovered? You say, Brother, how do you kindle that passion? You seek those things which are above. The more you seek, the more you'll find. The more you find, the more you'll want to seek. And it's a tremendous circle. The more I learn of Jesus, the more I want Jesus. Don't be satisfied. Take out the trash of those half-hearted attitudes. Now, let's talk about the actions that we've got to take out and get rid of. Oh, Paul went down a list after he dealt with those attitudes. He says, now let's put this into practice. He said there in verse 5, he said, let's put to death your old members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, not only do we have to have the right attitude, we've got to have the right action. There are some things that do not belong in the Christian's life. That's why he said, put to death. That phrase is a very decisive and once and for all type phrase. And it means to completely exterminate these things that I'm about to tell you. This does not belong in the life of a child of God. You know the problem today? The problem is you can't tell the Christian from the lost person because the Christians have come to live like lost people live. There are some things that do not belong in our lives, beloved. And they hinder our relationship with Jesus Christ. What are those things? Number one, perverted passions. There are three categories here. He said, we got to get rid of. Number one, perverted passions. And under that, he said, flee sexual immorality. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. It all deals with sexual immorality. All those words do. And it includes adultery, premarital sex, homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, pedophilia, pornography, all that stuff. And he's saying, this does not belong in your life. You cannot have a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ and be involved in these things. Why? Because they get in your way. You see, when you go to Jesus and pray, and you know there's an inappropriate sexual relationship in your life, and you get down on your knees, all you can think about is that inappropriate sexual relationship, because the Spirit's saying, you need to take care of this. Need to take care of this. Oh, Brother Doug, I don't do any of that stuff. Really? I'll be willing to bet in a congregation this size, some people are dealing with some of that. Some of these things. Amen? Yeah. You know it is. And you know, it gets in the way. It gets in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ. You got to take out the trash. You've got to realize this is not who you are. And you've got to not settle for what the world offers and say, no, I choose Jesus. Not only sexual immorality, he said covetousness falls under here, these perverted passions. There's an old saying, get all you can all you get, sit on the can and poison the rest. You heard that? That's kind of our American mentality. Let's hold on and let's get everything we can get. You know what the problem with that is? It becomes your motivation. You know, money's a wonderful thing. It's a horrible master, but it's a wonderful servant. And there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with saving money, but there's everything wrong with being controlled by money. Okay? Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being money. This is when money and stuff becomes the motivation for your life, you become an adulterer, an idolater, worshiping a false god because you've taken him out of the place of God and made something else your god. See, that's when we take God out of that position of God and replace him with something, we cannot be in a right relationship with God. And you know what the wonderful thing is? When you honor God as God, and God said, have no other gods before me, the wonderful thing is when you put God first place, everything else will fall into place. Yeah. Beth and I have had the conversation numerous times. She's number two in my life. She's number two. God's number one. She's number two. And if I keep God number one, she'll be happy being number two. She will. And I want the same thing from her. You got to take out the trash. When your life is all about inappropriate relationships, when your life's all about making more and more and getting more and more, there's not room for Jesus. Take out the trash. Not only do we deal with perverted passions, but we've got to take out the tempers. I've heard people say, well, I'm hot-tempered. No, you're not. You allow yourself to be hot-tempered. Well, I can't help. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You just don't try to help. He goes through a list here. He said, verse 8. He said, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Filthy language out of your mouth. You know what anger is? Yeah, I know how to be mad. As it's listed here, anger, it means slow, seething, smoldering emotion that boils beneath the surface. You know what I'm talking about? It's going on inside, but nobody can see. I wonder if they know how I really feel about them. I'm mad. The more I think about it, the madder I get. Paul says, no. Don't let it boil within. Why? because it's not going to stay with you. Number one, it will eat you alive. Okay? And you're being mad at someone is not punishing them. Okay? You think, well, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm going to stay angry at them. Well, guess who's the one feeling bad? You are. You're not hurting them. You're destroying yourself. Paul says, put off the anger. Put off the wrath. That wrath is rage. You know, after you boil a little while, what happens? You're going to blow up. Paul says, can't do that either. Why? Because when you blow up, you say and do things that you will regret later on. Okay? Put aside the wrath, those outbursts of blazing emotions where you just light into somebody because, after all, they deserve it, right? No, that's not who you are. That's the trash in the life of a child of God. Put aside the malice, the hateful feelings, the ill will, the deliberate intention of, boy, I hope something bad happens to them. Have you ever hoped something bad happens to somebody? I don't see how you could do that, but there are people who do. Listen, you can't harbor feelings like this and be right with God. Oh, yes, I can, brother. Oh, no, you can't. Prove it. Oh, glad you said. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 and 31, it says this. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You know what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit? Just what it says. Do not grieve. Do not hurt. Do not make sad. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. If you're harboring that anger, that ill will, you cannot be right with Jesus Christ. You cannot grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're grieving the Spirit of God. And I want you to understand from as I'm preaching this, I'm not trying to rake you over the coals. I'm trying to bring you to the point where you look and realize what you're missing. Because it can be so much better. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is being hindered. You can't be close to God because of these things that are controlling you. You've got to take out the trash. You've also got to deal with your language. Sharp tongue. In the last part of verse 8, he said, filthy language and blasphemy. You know what blasphemy is? It's the defamation of character to injure somebody's reputation. How do you talk about other people? I was always told, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. Who are you to attack someone else's character? Who am I? Let me ask you, can you speak well about people you don't like? Not going to do it, Brother Doug. Why not? Not going to do it. Yes. You need to go back up and deal with the anger and the wrath and everything else that's got a hold of you. And then you come back. Until you can talk good about those that you don't particularly like, you don't have a handle on this. You know, there are people that I like more than others. But I want to speak well of all men. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I probably shouldn't say this. You're probably right. When you hear things like that, maybe you just need to say, well, don't say it. Don't say it. You bring to the point of, you may not like the individual, you may not be happy with an individual, but can you say, well, that's a good lady. I appreciate it. Find something nice you can say about that person. And when that person comes up, you make a good comment. Don't try to hurt their reputation. Well, Brother Doug, you don't understand what they did to me. No, listen. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. It's your job to love them in spite of what they are. Don't speak bad and try to ruin somebody's reputation. You do not have that right. And it will destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you can't love. I promise you, you cannot love and hate at the same time. You cannot love and hate at the same time. And filthy language. Ooh, this is trash we need to take out also. Well, Brother Doug, you don't understand. Sometimes I get mad. Don't excuse it. Your speech should reflect Jesus Christ at all times. My speech should reflect Jesus Christ at all times. You want to know what filthy language is? Obscene. Things that should not come out of the mouth of a child of God, where people would look at you and say, I didn't know he talked that way. Yeah. We call it, you know, back in my day, we called it cussing. I don't know what they call it now. There are certain things that shouldn't come out of your mouth. My friends. Why? Because people are watching you. And the way you talk will reflect upon the God you serve. And I don't care if you're 18 years old or if you're 80 years old. Foul language should not come out of your mouth at any time. I know kids, a lot of times, they get into that point where they think it makes them look big to talk that way. Makes them important to talk that way. It doesn't make you important. It belittles you. And it will hinder your relationship with God. Take out the trash. Take out the trash. Blasphemy, lying, filthy language. You see, hot tempers, all these things get in the way. And let's be real. We have all of Christ that we have room for. And we talk about more. We're going to have to make room for more of Jesus. All right? Some things have got to go. Got to take out the trash. Got to clean house a little bit. Why? So your relationship with Jesus Christ can flourish. You see, here's the last part in closing in verse 11 of our text. He kind of brings it all together. He said, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. What's he mean there? Here, he gives you the list that you understand what's important. He says, in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's no racial division. You know what the glorious thing is? God doesn't care if you're black, white, red, green, or purple. Doesn't care about the color of your skin one little bit. He cares that you're a person. He doesn't care about your race. Circumcised, uncircumcised. That was a religious division. God doesn't care about your religion. I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. I'm Pentecost. You go down the line. God's not impressed. When you get to heaven, I promise you, Jesus is not going to say, what denomination were you? Your religion's not what Jesus is concerned with. Barbarian or Scythian? Your culture. know, that was a culture, different cultures of that day. God doesn't care about, you know, we talk about the culture wars and the culture is changing now. The culture of the young people today are one way, the culture of the old people are another way. And we've got to change or we're going to lose the culture wars. God don't care about culture. Slave or free. That's social division. You know, I look out here and there's a wide variety of people. And everybody's, and most are on a different social ladder than somebody else. There are some people who have, as the world would look at it, have big important jobs. And there are some people, as the world would look at it, well, they don't have the big important jobs. And you know what? God doesn't care. He doesn't care what club you're a member of. Oh, that's not important. You know what Jesus cares about? He cares about a relationship with you. Because you are an individual. And being an individual, you are a person that Jesus Christ died for. So, today, first and foremost, if you've never receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to know this. It doesn't matter who you are. You're not too good. You're not too bad. But that you need to be saved. Okay? Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's you. Have you called upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes, Brother Doug, I've done that. Good. Okay? Now let's move on. Have you been baptized? Have you been baptized? Have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? Well, Brother Doug, I'm going to do that one of these days. Don't make excuses. Take out the trash. Get rid of the excuses. Okay? If you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism, you need to do that. Why? Because it's your display, or your public identification with Christ. Okay? Brother Doug, yes, I've been saved. Yes, I've been baptized. Are you growing? Okay? Ask yourself the question. Are you growing? Are you becoming closer and closer to Jesus Christ with every passing day? Are you? Is your faith becoming stronger and stronger with every passing day? No, Brother Doug, not really. You know why? Because there's some trash that's getting in the way. You know what I've discovered? Every home that I've ever been in, every place that I've ever visited, they always have a trash can. Because everybody has trash. Now, you're going to sit here today and you're going to act like there's nothing in your trash can. Who do you think you're fooling? We all have trash. From the pulpit to the pew. Challenge today. Get rid of the trash. And start growing. With Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven. Lord. Dealing with our trash is hard. We hide it. Place and put it in places where we think nobody else can see, but it's still there. And you see. Wonderful thing, Lord, about those things that are trashing up our life is that you said in your word that if we'll confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so, Lord, today, help each individual here to deal with trash. Lord, we may all have different weaknesses, different sins, and different things that are hindering our relationship with you. But still, it's all trash. Help us to deal with it. Help us, Lord, that we may
grow in our personal relationship with you. Give us a passion, a desire. In Jesus' name I pray.